The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's edition of the Far Side Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/farside. That is www.audibletrial.com/farside, where you can choose from over 150,000 titles for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. From the valleys of Tennessee and breaking through the barriers of perceived reality, you are listening to the Far Side Paranormal Podcast, and I'm your host for this program. My name is Bob Bain. On today's edition of the Far Side, we have on a man by the name of Phil Siracusa. Phil is here to share with us some of his strange, unusual, and some may even say horrifying life event stories. And today, Phil is also joined by Dave Such and a psychic by the name of Ashley. Phil also has an upcoming book that is to be released this summer. That book is called The Horsefly Chronicles. And without further ado, Phil, welcome to the Far Side.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for appearing on the Far Side. Now, Phil, your website, horsefly.com, has quite a captivating write-up for your upcoming book titled The Horsefly Chronicles. And seeing that the book isn't out until June the 1st, I believe it is.
Yes.
I honestly have close to zero knowledge about your story. So would you mind taking us through a journey toward an event in your life story to where you began experiencing something that was out of the ordinary?
Sure, Bob. Well, I remember heaven very clearly.
Hmm.
I was in heaven. And from heaven, I was pulled into hell,
mm-hmm.
which is not the norm in any kind of religion or any kind of books or cases where you've never heard of anybody going from heaven to hell. But I went from heaven. I was pulled into the darkness of hell. And then I was born.
Hmm.
When I was born, I was born through an open portal where spirits can come back and forth to communicate with me through the other side. Now, heaven, Bob, is the most amazing thing that anyone could ever, ever, ever experience. And the biggest questions would be, what does it look like?
Yes.
There's more colors. It's more vibrant. There's more energy. In heaven, you don't have to speak words to translate with people.
Hmm.
The love that you feel is a thousandfold from what you have here in the physical world. There is no time in the spiritual world. No time at all. So it's not measured that way.
Uh-huh.
But it would feel like eternity.
Yes.
And in heaven, the nature, the bees, the birds, and the animals, and everything that is would be here in the physical form is there in the spiritual form.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all one, where nothing is there to harm you at all. In heaven, when you touch someone's hand, you feel love more so than any love that you could possibly imagine.
That's what I've heard.
Now, my story is that I have a word for it, it's called drifting.
Hmm.
And in the story, I had a loved one, and I do not remember her name. But she knew that it was time for me to go, and I didn't know where I was going. She had the beautiful blonde hair and crystal blue eyes with pale skin. Her hair was to her hips, very energetic with a beautiful smile. She knew it was my time to be pulled in to hell.
Mm.
I was being circled with her by something dark. After I was being circled, she says, "Phil, you have to go now." And I did not want to leave heaven, and I didn't understand why. The conscious mind in heaven versus the conscious mind in the physical world is two different ways of thinking. I then opened my eyes up into darkness and a fiery pit like the inside of a volcano with hundreds of thousands of corpses.
Mm.
Did not know where I was until I actually seen these demons, these horrific looking demons, and the lost souls of the dead. In the hell that I was in, it could be, for example, let's picture you're inside of a volcano and it's 100 different levels. I was at the bottom level with Satan himself, and he knew my fears. Evil plays off your fears. It finds your weakest link. It gravitates to it, and it tortures you. The torturous pain that you go through in hell is like none that you could ever imagine in the physical world. So here's how I would explain the pain and torture that myself and hundreds of thousands of souls have went through. Hold your breath. Step into 3 feet of fire. Put out your legs and your arms and have them pulled apart as you're screaming in torture. Intensify that by 1,000. And when you're all pulled apart, it starts over again. You are a slave to the demons. You are a slave to Satan. You are there in hell to do Satan's work. One part of me knew I should not be there. I kept my faith. I kept my strong faith in God. I did not know why I was pulled into this. There's no time. There is absolutely no time that is counted in hell as well. But when I started to see some of those hundreds of thousands of people like myself, some of them were not there anymore. I knew, a part of me had knew in my soul that this was not going to be forever. One day, well, there's no day measured, but one time in hell, I seen this light, and I was in a slot in the cave, and I must have been about 50 levels up into this volcano, if you could picture what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's like dirt and carved where you were placed into this little cubby, this little hole. And this crack of light came from miles and miles away, this very thin crack of light, like a flashlight. And it was looking at me, coming closer and closer. And I started to feel like this light was coming for me. I could feel it. And I seen the demons themselves starting to walk over to me. The light slowly pulled me through the spiritual body, not the physical, but the spiritual, into a small crack on the top of this look-alike volcano. I didn't think I was going to fit through it, because in your conscious mind, you don't think you can fit through a crack. In the spiritual realm, you can. And I was pulled through this light. And as I was pulled through the light, Bob, you start to lose all the pain. And you start to take back all the love and all the fulfillment of heaven. I was pulled into the light of God. From there, I opened my eyes, and I was born.
Mm. Now, you said you don't really know what it was that dragged you into that other place, but do you think it was a type of spiritual eviction moment, or do you think it was a mistake?
It was my time to go to hell, to be pulled from heaven into hell. It was my time. And you don't know that, and you don't know why that you're actually being tortured. And how could a soul go from heaven to hell?
Mm-hmm.
But now, I'm 46 years old, and as I look back, I can tell you very clearly that this is the way it works. When we're born with the full soul. Each and every human thing, flesh, animal, we're born with the full soul. A full soul is a full glass of water, for example.
Mm-hmm.
All the things that you do that are negative, that you reflect back into the earth or towards people, whether you cause harm, chaos, destruction, that glass of water, Bob, empties. And if you go back when it's your time and that glass is empty, you're going straight to hell.
Hmm.
In my case, I was brought to heaven, but I wasn't supposed to be there.
Interesting. Now, Dr. Michio Kaku, I don't know if you've heard of him or not.
Dr. who?
Dr. Michio Kaku.
Yes.
Okay. He believes there are multiple dimensions within our world, and in these other worlds, other dimensions, there are carbon copies of us. Do you think that those carbon copies, that we share a soul together?
Yes.
Yes, and that the combination of good or evil will depend on whether we go to heaven or hell?
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
There's different theories on dimensions. I'm going to tell you what I know from my experience, and not to speak about anybody else's experience, just me, Phil Syracuse.
Okay.
We live in a three-dimensional world.
Exactly.
Three, the number three. You knew that?
Yes.
Okay. So the biggest question to mankind is, when we die, is that it? And the answer is no. It's just a stepping stone. I know this because I've had past lives. And I didn't know this until I was a teenager, and I went to different psychics, and they said, you're an old soul. But I never understood what that meant, an mm-hmm. old soul. And then as I went on through the years of my life, I would go to places and say, wait a second, I've been here before. But subconsciously, you couldn't have been there, but I was there. And because we're in a three-dimensional world, Bob, the realms of the supernatural and the spiritual entities is all possible to come into the physical world. That's why we have ghosts. That's why we have poltergeists. That's why we have entities.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have contacts with other things outside of our realm in this world and on this earth. And yes, that is all true. It's all true. So my encounters as I grew up as a teenager, I've been visited by many, many beings where I thought maybe I was having a bad dream
mm-hmm.
until I would actually, these visions would unfold in my life and come forth and become reality. So the reason it's called horsefly is because that's exactly what it is. Now, a horsefly is nothing more than an insect.
Yes.
But a poltergeist is an energy that takes the form of whatever it wants to of your fears.
Yes. And actually, a lot of stories, a lot of true stories, anytime there's poltergeist activity or even demonic activity, there have been reports of either horse flies or flying insects, just thousands of them at times, just all of a sudden appearing.
Yes. Well, Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies, it's one of Satan's demons. It's one of the 72 demons that are out there.
Mm.
This is the demon now that came with me into this lifetime.
Yes.
Now, I myself, in this book, when it comes out, I'm separated by both good and evil. As every human being has good and evil in them,
mm-hmm.
the difference is that my good and my evil far exceed anybody else's far good and evil.
Really?
And what that means is this. Let's say you get mad at something.
Mm-hmm.
Now intensify that by 100, because an evil entity knows how to deal with your weakness. So what it does, it plays off your weakness. So if my weakness was to go beat somebody up, it would make me want to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
If my good side was to help someone, it would make me give the shirt off my back. It knows and tailors according to what it wants to do to you.
Mm.
And because it's with me all the time, even that I'm on the phone with you right now, Bob,
mm-hmm.
it's present. This poltergeist, this energy is present because it did not want me to come into the physical world.
Mm.
So it came with me. Now, you know, you could say, well, you know, there's coincidence, and then there could be some facts, there could be some point of views. So I put everything to a test
mm-hmm.
to see if it was just me or if it was all fact. As I decided to do this project with a coworker and have other people involved, I wanted to hear of hands-on experiences if they were dealing with the same thing that I was dealing with.
Yes.
And they are. For example, the ghostwriter who's writing the story who wants to remain anonymous. The story has a lot of deep, dark secrets within the humankind. And she would send me emails and call me and just say, this is happening to me, that is happening to me. And I would try to separate if it's a demon that's actually following her.
Mm-hmm.
Another person that's on the set with the project, who also came as a third-party verifier, also a few days later had contacted us and said, "This, I'm not alone." You see, it's like an electricity, a poltergeist. And the way I'm on the phone with you that quick, that's how quick a poltergeist can present itself anywhere at any time if it wants to manifest itself and show you that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
If it wants to scare you. So the horsefly is a horsefly. I do get circled, and a lot of my colleagues do get circled by a horsefly, because that's the lord of the flies. Again, one of the demons that will make itself known that it's around.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, when the horsefly is present, something bad is about to happen.
So if you were to go and swat it and squish it.
It's a fly. You can crush it. It's dead.
Yeah. And it will come right back.
Not that exact, not the one that's dead. Another one will come back.
Oh, okay.
So let me explain it like this. Let's say you die, right?
Yes.
When you die, you actually leave your body, which I'm sure you've heard.
Yes.
You leave your body. It's the same thing. The energy would leave that insect, go into another one.
Mm.
The same thing as when we die.
Yes.
Same thing, it just passes through.
I was just wondering if the entity creates the horsefly, or if it just takes over a already existing.
It takes over. It doesn't create an artificial horsefly. It actually takes over a horsefly the way a demon would take over a human soul, and they would become possessed. Same thing. Same exact principle.
Does this spiritual entity have a name that you are aware of?
No.
No? Now, I know you said that you've had portals opening.
Yes.
Yes. What kind of experiences have you had with these portals?
Portal.
Just a portal.
Portal is that when someone from the other side wants to communicate with me. You see, the biggest understanding here in the U.S. is that when you die in religion, in the Catholic religion, those go to heaven, but you cannot communicate with them, because that's not in the Bible, that we can actually communicate with those that have departed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to speak for myself and not disrespect anybody's religion. That's not true. That is not true. You can.
I agree.
You can, and I've done it over and over and over and over. And I call it the open portal. So if you say, Phil, what is a portal like? A portal is a big spiritual tunnel of energy, a tunnel that goes on to infinity. Where when we cross over, those that know that people like myself are able to communicate with them can. So, for example, Bob, if you had a grandmother that passed away and you wanted to talk to her,
mm-hmm.
most of the time it's very hard for anyone to speak to someone that's deceased. When you have an open portal, you can speak to those people.
Hmm. Now, one thing I've done in the past is something called electronic voice phenomena.
I heard of that, yes.
And I've had quite the remarkable experiences with those between at the house, graveyards. It's almost like there are spirits everywhere. It's almost as though we are merely separated by a veil of frequencies.
Yes, that's true. In fact, this is how it works. We're on the inside. Let's blow up a balloon in our mind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're on the inside of the balloon. When you cross over, you're on the outside. You're free. Those that cross over are able to come back and forth as they will. Can a spirit that's died visit their gravesite? Yes. Can a spirit make itself known that you loved? Yes. Can a demon do the same? Yes. Can something that you cannot see cause physical harm to the physical body? Yes, it can. Can they hear us? Can they touch us? Can they smell us? Can they taste us? The answer is yes, they can.
Yes. One thing I want to touch on right now is that your publicist had sent me a copy of some of your work And I really want to know how you felt when you met this 19-year-old girl and you went back to her place. And you weren't really welcomed, were you?
Okay, so that was Colleen. We were at the beach. It was me and a whole group of friends. It must have been like 50 people over there. And I met this girl and I introduced myself. And her name was Colleen. And we got to know each other. And then the three of us went back, me, my friend Doug, and he drove. We went back to her home. No one was in the house. And Doug loved video games, so he went downstairs and played video games. And I was on the couch with her making out.
Mm-hmm.
But I was getting fresh with her. You know, as a teenage widow, I was getting, you know.
Yeah.
And then I did not see, but I felt this. Now, again, I felt this negative energy coming down the stairs. I felt it. And then I tried to ignore it. So as I'm making out with her and still going further, something just told me now to turn around. I turned around and there was a headed statue of a soldier, like the size of our head, but it was a soldier. And it was on a mantle at the bottom of the stairs. And it smiled.
It smiled.
It smiled. I freaked out. I screamed and jumped. And she got scared and jumped. Now, as a teenager, I almost had a heart attack. We ran into the kitchen. We ran to the table. I says, and I'm screaming, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And she was about to tell me something that was about to happen. And then she went flying back in the chair.
Oh, my.
And the chair actually broke. And she got very hurt. My friend Doug came running up the stairs. We ran out of the house. And Doug turns around and says, look, turn around. And in the window is the face of a man. We went to a diner. I tried to get it out of her because I knew she knew something. I knew it. She didn't want to reveal because she was all shaking up, crying hysterically. We went for a drive, all three of us, and she had told me, Phil, I have something to tell you. 1 year ago, today, my father died.
Wow.
In a motorcycle accident on Highland Boulevard in Staten Island. They took the clothes that had the blood on them and put them on a chest on top of the stairs.
Mm.
And that was the father's way of him telling me, get away from my daughter.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, my.
So, yeah, and as a teenager, that experience was overwhelming for me. And to this day, it still gives me the chills. And I broke up with her because I was spooked as a teenager. I couldn't deal with it any longer. But there was a dark side to this girl that I didn't know. There was a very dark side to her. And words would surface through friends and whatnot that the family was just into odd things that normally families don't do. My friend, who was a next-door neighbor, started to date her. And he came up to me one day. He says, Phil, you don't mind if I date Colleen? I says, no, good luck with you. Just stay away from me. And then about a month after that, they were at the beach. I was there. And then somebody must have threw an aerosol can or something into a garbage pail, and it blew up, and then he got all second and third degree burns.
Mm.
And I put it all on this girl and her, and the poltergeist that is surrounding her, because it did not want this girl to be in a relationship or anything. So we avoided her like the plague after that, which anybody would.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, if you want to talk about that next chapter while it's on the top of my head that I sent you over.
Okay.
This is a unique story, and this is a story of can people contact you from the other side? The answer is yes. For those that would raise their eyebrows in denial, I will tell you firsthand, if you do not believe me and you want to meet me, I can prove it. Now, this girl, Anne, I used to date her on and off, a beautiful girl, and word had it, which again, I really found it hard to believe, that she believed in the devil and she was a devil worshiper. But she was so attractive that I pushed that aside. I just wanted to be with the girl. So we went back to my old house that was abandoned at the time because my family had moved. And we brought the Ouija board. We had made plans prior. And she says, Phil, do you have a Bible? I had brought the Bible. And she turns the Bible upside down. She cuts her hand and makes it bleed on the Bible. And I thought she was crazy at that point. But look, as a teenager, she was just so hot that, you know, I wasn't thinking about what she was doing. I was actually thinking about other things in my mind. We decided to do the Ouija board. So we do the Ouija board, and her father comes through that passed away, who died, and she was overwhelmed. And we look at each other, and she says to me, Phil, we're going to make a bond right now. And I says, okay. She goes, if any one of us were to die before the other, we're going to try to communicate to see if there really is life on the other side. And I made that bond with her. Lo and behold, about a few months later, I found out that Anne had cancer. And I went to visit her in the hospital and whatnot. About a year or two after that, a friend came to me, my friend Mark, and he says, Phil, let's just do the Ouija board one night. And I had this Indian girl, it was my gym, and she goes, oh, I want to do it too. So the three of us were on the board in my office at the gym late at night. And as we're talking, Anne comes right through the board, right through. Now, you could say, well, Phil, how do you know it's Anne? Anne had these ways of talking because she was part Spanish, and she had a way of moving the board, like where she would talk in the physical world
mm-hmm.
with like short sentences. And she came through so strong, and she says, Phil, I'm mad at you. And I says, why? On the board now. She goes, because you never came to the funeral. And I says, Anne, I didn't know you died, which I didn't know she was dead at this point. So what I did was, for my own curiosity, I blindfolded my friend Mark. I told Sue to take her hands off the board. And I just want to do this board with Mark and myself, him being blindfolded so that no one's moving this thing. And she told me where she was buried at the resurrection off Highland Boulevard in Staten Island. She said there was a cross there because the family did not have money for a stone. She says, I want you to come tomorrow and visit my grave. I says, how am I supposed to find it? It's a big cemetery. She goes, I will guide you. She goes, bring a pack of cigarettes. She loved to smoke. The next day, me and Mark went to the cemetery, and we were looking, and then sure enough, we found the cross. We put the pack of cigarettes, and this gust of wind came, this strong gust of wind. And it wasn't a normal wind, and it wasn't a hurricane wind. It was just the wind letting you know that there was another spiritual entity there. That's how it presents itself. So we went back that night, back on the board, and she says, thank you for visiting me. And I said, I have to talk to you. What is it like? She says, Phil, this is what it's like to be dead. The first thing I did ask her is like, do you believe in God? And she goes, I still don't. I'm an earthbound spirit. I'm here. I watch over my daughter. She had a daughter from a previous boyfriend. It all has to do with the lineup of the stars. And I didn't understand that. But the way she explained it was that when the stars are in a certain alignment, there's an energy field that's created to make any kind of loved ones that crossed over, any kind of entity, have more power to communicate with us here in the physical world. Now, I don't know the entire breakdown, but that's the way she explained it. She says, I'm a free spirit. I says, what do you do? She goes, I'm with my friends. There's many, 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 many others have crossed over and are earthbound spirits. And I says to her, do you still believe in Satan? Because I wanted to know that for my own conscious mind. And the office door slammed shut slowly, like it slammed, and like at the very end, it went bang. And then she was gone. When I went home, I was haunted by another spirit, of course. But what I got from that is this, Bob. You can, with an open mind, communicate with those that have crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
You can. This story is not a coincidence. This story is all fact. Not to spoil the book, but in another chapter of this book, it's going to blow people's minds what does come out with Anne. So the good news and exciting news for everybody in the physical world is that when you do cross over, it's not lights out and it's over. We go on.
Yes.
It's a three-dimensional world. We're able to communicate with others with an open mind, with a certain alignment of the stars.
Mm-hmm.
I, however, throughout my life, always tampered with the Ouija board for curiosity. I went into a dark side and I've had a lot of regrets, but I was pulled in through a negative energy, to do things that people would not do in darkness. And now I live to tell this whole story.
Yes. I have never played with one of those boards before, mostly because I've heard too many negative reactions to them, that it's bringing in demonic entities and they will fool you.
Yes, that's true. That is true. I do not recommend anybody doing the Ouija board, in fact.
Mm-mm.
However, you ready for this, Bob?
Yeah.
You don't need a board. A board is probably made from Parker Brothers. It's a board with letters and numbers and a planket. Yeah, that's all it is. That's all a board is.
Exactly.
So if you says to me or ask me, Phil, do I need a board to communicate with the other side? The answer is no. I could simply turn over a glass, a solid glass, upside down, put my fingers very lightly and ask the spirit, are you present? There's a motion that you know it's to the left. It'll go in a left circular motion. That's how you know you're not alone in that room. So if the glass is going in a full left circular motion counterclockwise, you know you're not alone. If you were trying to do anything to the supernatural to communicate, now, you don't have to do that. A spirit could just be with you because they love you and they want to watch over you as well. So horsefly has no boundaries, Bob. No boundaries in the sense that there are many of demons that I'm going to reveal in the story, how each one plays their part in the story, how I summoned them up accidentally, and how I live my life today.
How are you dealing with these demons in your life?
You have two choices in life. You can throw the towel in, or you can live with it. I choose to live with it.
There was a point in my life, I was around 11 years of age, where I was in a tug of war between heaven and hell. I would never wish that upon anybody. And even to this day, I don't know which side won. I joke around, but that was probably the worst moment of my life. And I don't know if that's kind of how you feel or not, that you're in a tug of war.
Yes, that's true. That's very true, a tug of war. It's funny because I just have to let you know this. I'm right here with my third-party verifier. Her name is Ashley. She's sitting next to me, and Ashley is a psychic intuitive, and I could feel it too. She feels it. Right now, we're in like a porch room, I think this is, and we're not alone right now. We could actually feel something, like this weighted energy as we're speaking to you.
Yes.
Because it knows. Now...
You were saying?
Oh, no, I was just thinking of, I just had a loss of, there's something else with me right now.
Oh, okay.
It's blocking me. It's like, it's confusing me a little bit, because Ashley's right here, she feels it too. But just, yeah, if you have another question, isn't it crazy how this works, Bob?
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, like I've told you before, in a lot of ways, we've experienced something similar throughout most of our lives. So I kind of understand what you're going through. How did you get into, I don't want to give away your book, but how did you get into the mafia?
I became a bouncer at 19, 20, 21 years old on Bay Street in Staten Island at the local bars. And not knowing that one of the bars was ran by an underboss. And then as a bouncer, you get to know people and mingle and you have to let them all, you know, do their thing and whatnot. And then they get to know you because they want to know who you are. They want to know you very well. You become friends and you work out with them. And then you start conversations. And they ask you about your personal life. And what do you do? And what are you into? And they happen to know through conversations that I'm into the Ouija board and contacting spirits. And they found that very interesting. And one of the underboss's sons came to me and says, you know, one day we need a favor from you. And you have to do it. And I was very, very nervous because I didn't want to open up that whole doorway with these people to show that you could actually help and assist to find the people that they're looking for. But you do what you have to do when it comes sometimes to money. And I opened up that door, and that's how it got involved, through level one, then level two with the mob.
And how did the demonic entity interact with you when you joined the mob?
It loved it.
It loved it.
Evil. Loves evil things. It plays off of it.
Yes. Did it get you in trouble while you were with the mafia?
Of course. Oh, yes. Yes. A lot of trouble.
And you are saying right now that you can feel it with you, even as we speak.
Oh, right now I'm in the room and, yeah, this is what I feel exactly. And this is how, yeah, exactly. Ashley's right next to me and it's pushing on me right now. You can feel this energy pushing me down, this weight. Just like when I'm doing the board, and yeah, Dave feels it too right now. It's in the room.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like somebody's holding my shoulders down.
That's what it is. It's because I'm not supposed to be revealing all of this, and that's in the book too, that there's so much knowledge that I have of this. It doesn't want to be known.
Yes. But how were you allowed to write this book if it doesn't?
I'm not writing it. I have a ghostwriter writing it. What I'm doing is, it's very interesting that you asked me that question.
Phil's
because
the author.
Back in April, a year ago, we decided to put this together, me, Dave, and we had problems. I said, Dave, if we're going to do this, there's going to be a lot of obstacles in our way. And the reason is because of the year of 2000, I tried to do this story. I was sitting down, I lived in Metuchen, New Jersey, and I started writing the story. My wife found out, and what's in it is very, very bad. Very bad and very evil. She tore it up one day when I was at work, and I let it be, and I was like, whatever. And then April of last year, you know, out of a conversation, we decided, let's go ahead and make this. It's such an incredible story, and people should know. If the biggest takeaway would be from me to any man on this earth is that we, number one, are not alone. We do not die, and that is the end of us. We do go on. We can contact our loved ones with an open mind, with the full alignment of certain stars, which is revealed in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not the earth, the way we live. It's just the scratch on the surface of what we really know. It's a scratch. That's all it is.
Exactly.
And most people live their life 9 to 5 through a regular rat race, and they're brainwashed. They don't know that there is another side to this, of us living.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell anyone that listens to this that you do want to go. You want to cross over with the full soul. You do not want to go with an empty glass.
Mm.
Because you will regret it.
Yes.
And that's where the law of karma comes in, the universal law. So where we could see these people today, whether they're mob figures or whether they're people who got rich on scams or whatnot, they in the physical world will live a happy life. When they cross over, they ain't going to be so happy. They're going to be tortured. The way I was tortured. And the pain that you have to go through is unlike any other pain that you could possibly imagine and torment.
Mm-hmm.
I myself had brought back these demons. They just followed me through an open portal. My fear, one of my biggest fears are spiders. And if it wants to be in the house on the wall, not a wall spider, but a spider that only I can see sometimes,
mm-hmm.
that would try to give me a heart attack or shake me up, it will be there as a poltergeist. Excuse me, as an energy of a poltergeist.
Hmm. Are we talking about a large spider that could eat you alive? Or
no, we're talking about the size of your hand.
Well, I'd be jumping out of the chair for that one, too. Get the shotgun and shoot it.
Yeah. So what it is, Bob, is it's that, let's make believe there's a demon in the room with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, what's your fears?
My fears? Oh, mostly my fear is dying. I'm afraid of where I may end up. I want to make sure that I lived my life good enough so I don't go to hell.
Okay, so your fear is dying.
Yeah, and where I'll end up. I think that's the fear for most people.
You yourself, were you reincarnated, Bob?
I have no idea, actually.
You were.
I was.
You are.
Okay. And how do you know this?
Because I was just told that.
And who was I in another life?
Well, I'm not a psychic. I'm not a clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a person that when something else comes through me, like right now, I feel like there's a ton of bricks on me.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave is feeling the same thing.
Absolutely.
And Ashley. It's like this weight of energy. So it just wanted me to let you know that. So I don't know any specifics or details because I would be lying to you, Bob. But it's telling me that you were around before. You've done this already.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how powerful this is. And I'm sure that if I had a clear state of mind, I could probably channel this entity in to tell me everything that you'd want to know about who you are.
Well, if this entity is a demon.
There's two. There's three. There's four.
There's how many?
I don't have an exact count, Bob. And my voice is changing for a reason because I'm just getting a little spooked right now.
Okay. If this entity is evil, what makes you think that it's giving you true information?
Information to the right side of the brain is true. Information to the left side of the brain is false.
Ah, I
it's
see.
A negative spirit.
I see.
When I was in hell and I was pulled through the light on the right side of me throughout my whole adolescence and teenage, everything to the right of my mind would be positive.
Mm-hmm.
On the left would be negative. It's a spiritual connection.
Are you afraid at any point in your life that the evil entity will maybe take over you and commit some murders?
No, because you have to be able to control your thoughts, your fears, and your emotions.
And what is your fear, since you asked me what mine was?
Spiders.
Spiders, and that's mostly it?
You know, it's funny because you'd probably say, just a spider, is that your fear?
Yes.
You know, back a few weeks ago, Bob, I'm laying in bed. I'm living out in eastern Pennsylvania. And I think it was in the afternoon. And this huge spider, the size of my hand, was coming down from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at it, and I start screaming to the top of my lungs. The whole family runs up. What's going on? What's going on? It's this energy that presents itself to my fears. And that's just one of them. Where you might fear death, I don't fear death because I know we go on.
Let me tell you something. My wife is afraid of butterflies, of all things.
Butterflies, really?
Butterflies. When she was in Germany back in the 70s as a child, her parents were both in the Air Force. She woke up one night. She left her window open, and her room was covered with what she thought were bats. I mean, she's a child at this point. And they were butterflies. And ever since then, she's been afraid of butterflies, of all things.
Wow. Wow. That's funny.
Yeah. If she sees one, she'll go screaming away.
Well, everybody has their own fear of something.
Yeah.
In the physical world.
Now, how did you meet Dave?
Actually, I work for a telecommunications company. It started back 6 years ago. And then we happened to be in the same training class together.
Mm.
And we became friends throughout, you know, our sales experience through working together. And one thing led to another back a year ago. And here we are today. And if you asked me 6 years ago, you know, would I have done this? Looking at, you know, no, I wouldn't have, you know.
But yeah.
It's just, it's the way life turns. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to happen that way.
Yes.
It's an unfolding story. It's just meant to be, period.
I can tell you actually trust Dave and Ashley, because events like this, it's hard to open up to just anybody, because most people will just ridicule you for the most part.
Oh, yeah. In fact, you know, when people laugh, you know, look, I don't preach to the choir.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have arguments with atheists. To each their own, and with what anybody wants to believe, that's fine. As long as you live a balanced life and you're not putting any negative into the earth or other people, then you're on a clean slate as far as I'm concerned,
mm-hmm.
from where I've been. So if people say, well, can you prove this and can you prove that? The answer is no. I can't prove it. If you don't believe anything, then you're not going to see it anyway.
Yes.
So why go above and beyond and break a sweat? It's those who have an open mind who are led to believe and understand that there is another dimensional world that we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that would understand. Now, Bob, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Ashley is my third-party verifier, and she was hired on this project to be someone who she didn't even know us, in fact. We had Dave put an ad in Craigslist. I had the idea that I wanted somebody who did not know us,
mm-hmm.
not know us, to see when they were working on a project in their own home if they would have any kind of experiences.
Yes.
So would you mind speaking to her for a minute?
Sure, that's fine.
Because she's on the left of me, and I want you to speak to her.
Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Here's Ashley Marone.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Ashley?
I'm great, actually. I'm a little bit tired because, like he was saying, it's the entity is like an energy, and it pretty much just takes everything out of you. And in fact, the first time that I actually met Phil, see, now my mind's getting clouded because, you know, they don't want me to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I met him, I had went to his house, and it was like an instant, you know, we'd seen each other before. The energy was crazy. I could actually feel the weight as soon as I walked into his house. And we sat there, we talked, we got to know each other. And it was crazy because I had mentioned things that there was no way that I could possibly know. We've noticed that we've seen each other in different past lives before, which was absolutely incredible. And then by the time I left his house, I was drained. I was absolutely exhausted. It felt like I was falling asleep right then and there. And I had actually come with a friend. She's not psychic. She doesn't really believe in any of this stuff. And she felt the same exact way as we're feeling right now. There's like a pressure trying to put our weight down.
Yes.
Confuse your mind and not be able to think clearly. And yeah, that's pretty much what we're all experiencing here right now.
Yeah, my arms are very heavy.
Mm.
And my shoulders feel like I have two sandbags, one on, you know, 250-pound sandbags on each shoulder.
One of the coolest experiences I had, I mean, it's cool now that I look back at it, but while I was going through it, it was very terrifying, when I started working with them, there wasn't much going on except for when I first spoke to Dave on the phone. As soon as I spoke to him, I had to leave my house because I have a 2-year-old and I try to protect her as much as I can from anything dark.
Exactly.
I had to leave my house because immediately I felt spirits surrounding me, and it wasn't human spirits. It was, it was not human. I could tell the difference. And shortly after that, when I started getting involved with this project, weird things were happening to me. I think one of the most weird things that happened to me were these little tiny bugs that took over my entire basement. I mean, I would kill one and then three more would pop up. And the strangest thing about it was is that they didn't look like any bug that I've ever seen before. They looked like little tiny baby horseflies. I knew they weren't, but that's what they appeared as. And anytime I would talk on the phone with them about the project, my grandmother, who has never been sick a day in her life since the 70s, would get these nosebleeds that would last for maybe about 10, 15 minutes of her sitting there with her nose gushing blood. And that was weird for my family because we never experienced anything like that. My daughter's been woken up from night terrors to the point where she's been terrified, like absolutely terrified, calling for me. The week before I met them, I have these visions. I see things before they happen sometimes.
Yes.
I haven't really figured out what most of it means yet because I'm still pretty young. But a week before I had seen that ad on Craigslist, I was just drawing. I like to draw in my free time, and I ended up drawing a demon. That's nothing. I've never drawn anything dark before. I'm like a sunset and open field type artist. I like to draw things very vibrantly in colors, and this happened to be an all black in like a like the pastel. I drew just the scariest looking demon with these big teeth, nose, giant eyes, angry looking, like a decrepit type skin. It was pretty interesting. I didn't understand what it meant at the time, but then when I met with Dave and sat down and talked about the story, everything started falling into place. And to this day, I kind of sit and wonder, did I find the story or did this story find me? You know?
Do you have a copy of that drawing anywhere online?
I did take a picture of it. I'd have to do some, you know, investigating myself to go find it because it was a while ago.
Yes.
But as far as the picture, I got rid of it once the flies started appearing in my house.
Yes.
I got rid of the picture. But I do have a picture of it. I did post it on my Instagram a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
But I'd have to find it again.
Yes. What kind of psychic are you? Because there are different levels and different types of psychics.
Absolutely. There are different types of psychics. For me, I'm still at that point where I'm trying to figure out what exactly my limits are with my psychic abilities. But I'm just a go with the flow, whatever happens type. Sometimes I'll get these images in my head and I don't understand them at all. And I'll mention them to somebody and they'll be like, well, how did you know that? When I was on the phone with Phil once, I asked him, do you have something behind your stairs in your basement? Is there something there? And he was quite taken back because he didn't understand how I could possibly know that, because all of a sudden I'm on the phone and I get an image. We're in mid-conversation and I get an image of something behind his stairs. Or when I was at his house, I asked him, does your bed shake? Because my body started shaking and I got an image of a bed. And, you know, he confirmed and he said, yes, the bed shakes at night. And things like that, but I still haven't actually figured out what it is that I can do. But I do get the premonitions, things before they happen, visions of things that have happened, or anything that I need to warn people about.
As a psychic, have you tried to communicate with these entities and have them leave Phil's life, or does Phil even want them to leave?
Well, I haven't gone to that level of my abilities because, you know, his fear is spiders. My fear is seeing something that's not actually there. That's a big fear of mine. So I try to, like he had mentioned before, you need to try and block your fears. That's something, since I'm afraid of it, I try to block it myself because I don't want to open up that door. I don't want to have my own portal of things coming and going as they please, because I do have my 2-year-old who's also very susceptible. Her abilities go beyond belief, and she doesn't even understand life yet.
Exactly.
So I haven't exactly tried to do what you described. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a topic of discussion at some point, but as far as that goes, no, we haven't tried that yet.
Like I was telling Phil, from a very young age, I've had many experiences. When I became a teenager, I just started to try and block everything.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I don't see much of anything or hear things. For the most part, on occasion, I'll feel a cool electricity come over me. But as far as my abilities, that's as far as that goes now.
Well, I've also, I've had something follow me my entire life as well.
Mm-hmm. And
since a very young age, my mother has confirmed it plenty of times and told me all the scary stories. But I think where our stories go different is I tried to do what you just explained to me. I tried to block mine out and pretend like nothing was happening. But yet his portal is just so intense and so, I don't really know how to explain it, but it's just, it's there. So his demons, you know, he couldn't just block it out. He explored that side
yes.
of his life. I chose to just, you know, deny it.
Exactly. Where most people say they have inner demons, Phil actually does have inner demons.
Yes, he actually does have inner demons. I think we all have inner demons. You know, when we're born, we're all born, like he said, with the full soul and the ability to see life beyond what it just is. And then some people branch out and explore it, and some people grow up in their denial and choose to deny their gift. And that's when their gift, you know, eventually subsides into the
yes. Now, this question will actually go for all three of you, if you're listening. What is the worst experience that you've ever encountered paranormal-wise?
Ooh, Phil, you want to go ahead in that one? I'll let you start off.
Yeah, could you just repeat that?
What is the worst experience you've ever encountered with the paranormal?
Well, me and my friends had challenged the devil back in 1992 on the Ouija board. One big friend, dominant guy, big, muscular. One funny friend, and my big friend was never intimidated by anything or anybody. No, he wasn't afraid of nothing. So we're at my friend's house, and he goes, "Satan, if you're here, I want to talk to you."
Mm.
Now, this is my big muscular friend. I'm going to leave his name out. And he kept challenging the devil, "Satan, can you hear me? Satan, can you hear me?" Well, Satan heard him. The board went crazy. The air conditioning fell out of the window. It was a window unit. It fell out.
Wow.
The ceiling fan dropped. He himself dismissed it and says, "It's all coincidence. This is all BS.
Mm-hmm.
He went home that night, and we all went home. But I knew from my own experience something was not right that night. We weren't going home alone. He called me up at 1 o'clock in the morning. He says he sees spiders all over my walls. I says, "What?" He goes, "They're all over the walls." He just starts killing them. He's on the phone with me, and then this phone went all statically and just dropped. So I tried calling him back, but I couldn't get back to him because there was all static on the line.
Mm-hmm.
A couple days later, he's in the gym in New York City working out, and he was doing bench press, and the bar fell on his chest and ripped his muscle, and he wound up in the hospital. And then while he was in the hospital room, these spiders were back. And these little insects, I can't explain what they were, it's so long ago, but they just, it's always insects that will make itself known when there's an evil entity. And we spoke weeks after when he was in the cast, and I was like, "You know, do you think this has anything to do with challenging the devil?" He says, "I'll never do it again. I'll never touch that board again, and I don't want to talk about it no more."
That is something I would never do. You never know what you're going
to
get.
The story to that was that when we were doing the board, as he was trying to contact Satan, as we were doing that, this girl that lived in Brooklyn came through. She was murdered.
Mm.
And she gave us a phone number on the board. A phone number to the guy who killed her.
Oh, my.
So because my friend was so big and she was right there in the room with us, she goes, "I can see you, and I want you to call this number and kill this guy." So we called the number. We stopped the board. We called the number, and it was the same person that she said would be on the other side of that phone. My friend said, "No, I'm not going to do it." And then he dismissed it and started calling Satan, and then he just started getting, you know, very angry. You see, remember when I said that evil finds its weakest link?
Yes.
We all, Bob, we all have a weakest link. Temptation, always wanting to do more of an evil thing, and then it will just intensify itself to no limits. Like I said earlier in this conversation, if I was going to punch somebody in the face, it would want me to really go to work on that person. Evil finds its weakest link, and it loves it. And when you had asked me, Bob, about when I was involved with the mob,
mm-hmm.
and you says, well, did this evil entity like it? It didn't like it. It loved it. It loves that.
Yes. It thrives on it.
It thrives off of the negative energy that surrounds all of us. Except, so here's the way you can look at this whole picture. Let's make believe around your physical body, there's electricity surrounding you.
Mm-hmm.
Electrical field. Okay? Now, let's make believe that half of that energy field is dark energy. When you do something bad, that dark energy now takes over all the energy around you and makes you do the worst of what you were planning on doing in the first case.
Mm-hmm.
And it can take you over. And that's how people become possessed. Possession is true.
Yes, evil can consume you just as good can consume you.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you have to decide which you want to do the most of, good
yes.
or evil. And that's pretty much your life journey.
Yes. Except for my case where you have an open portal. Now, you just spoke with Ashley, and then Dave, are you still there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm
Dave
here. I'm listening.
Now, it's you don't know me, Bob, and, you know, you're just listening to this phone call, you know, and, you know, we're talking back and forth, but
mm-hmm.
Dave, what kind of weight did you feel just now? Because I feel like this weight is pushing me. What do you feel in the room?
No, I have a weight. The best way to explain it is take a bag of sand and put it in a cloth tube and put the sand in there and put it around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel right now. My arms are very heavy. I feel like I'm sitting on a couch in my living room and I feel like I'm being pushed down into my couch.
Hmm.
So,
and I'm on a chair across from him at his computer desk and I'm feeling the same way. And Ashley's on the left of me on like a giant beanbag and she's feeling it. This weight. It's crazy how it sounds,
yes.
you know, but it's true. It's all true.
And I know Ashley is psychic, but are you psychic, Phil, and are you psychic, Dave?
No, I'm not. I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very, very strong believer. You know, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm a strong believer. I don't let that bother me, but I have things happen to me. You know, and Phil and I laugh, you know, throughout that. I say, Phil, you never believe this.
Can you give Bob just a couple of things that happened to you, Dave, with the horsefly?
Yeah, well, one day I'm at work, and I'm in my car,
mm-hmm.
and I'm nowhere near any – I'm in a town. I'm in – I think it was – what town was it? Sayreville?
Somerville.
I'm in Somerville, New Jersey. There are no horses around. There's no water around. There's no fields. I'm in a town, physically in a town.
Mm-hmm.
Sidewalks, streets, street lights, you know. And I look up and I in my rearview mirror and there's this giant horsefly that's in my back window. And I'm like, I can't believe this. So I pull over and the thing's buzzing around in the back and I'm like, I'm getting this thing out of my car. So I go to get it out and I get a piece of paper. I fold it up and I'm trying to get this thing out of my car and it wouldn't leave. I couldn't chew it out, you know?
Yes.
So I finally get it out of my car and I step on it and it's still there. And then it flies again. It lands again on the ground. I step on it with all my might and that thing's still there. Actually, the picture of the horsefly after I stepped on it twice is on our website. So, you know, I've had, you know, we laughed. My hot water heater went, I mean, Phil's hot water heater went, our ghostwriter's hot water heater went, all in the same time.
Mm.
There's just some strange stuff that happens.
Sure.
I'm getting dressed for work one day. This is really freaky. And it's about 10 o'clock in the morning. I go into work at 12 o'clock. And I'm upstairs. I'm putting my tie on. And there's a cellophane balloon that was a birthday balloon that was in the hallway.
It was done.
But it was far down the hallway. All the way down by my stepson's room. And I walk from the bathroom, I walk back, and I feel like there's somebody behind me. I turn around, nothing's there. So, you know, I put my tie on, I'm looking in the mirror. I turn around again, I feel like there's somebody there, there's nothing there. Now, I turn around again because I'm getting annoyed, and there's this cellophane balloon right behind me, the same one that was in the hallway. Now, you could say wind blew it. There's no way the wind can blow it and make a right-hand turn and go behind the door to where I am. There is no way. And there was nobody else in the house, just me. So you know, I don't know. Is there any? I laugh because, you know, Phil and I have, you'll never believe what happened to me. It's like you get a phone call like that and we just laugh, you know.
Exactly. As a Christian, how has this affected your life?
How has this affected my life? I'm a very, very positive guy. I see something, I go get it. I have a goal, I achieve it. I don't let this stuff, I'm basically, F you, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't let that bother me. I know it. I believe it. I do believe. From the bottom of my bones, I believe this book, you know, which Phil's story. I believe in it. There is a heaven. There is a hell. I strongly believe in that. And a lot of people don't, but
yes,
that's what I know. I live my life. I treat people how they want to be treated, how I would want to be treated, excuse me. And that's how I live my life. I'm a very positive, nice guy, and I don't let that stuff bother me. I'm like basically right now. I mean, well, Phil was talking to you. I'm telling this thing to leave my house because I'm really annoyed. So, you know, I don't let that stuff bother me. You know,
yes.
I don't care who you are. So.
When you're telling it to leave your house, are you imagining a white light? Are you calling God to come send his angels? Well, what are you doing?
No, I'm basically looking in a corner because I know where this thing is and I feel it. I feel the presence of it. And I'm looking at it, giving it like all kinds of nasty things. And I'm going, you know, get the hell out of my house. So that's what I'm doing. So, you know, it's just, it's annoying. And, you know, I've had other strange things happen too. Like, 2 o'clock in the morning, I got thirsty. I came down the steps. I go into the kitchen. I have an English bulldog and there's two bolts, one for the food, one for the water.
Yes.
And the dog had already eaten dinner and there was like, when I went to bed, there was an empty bowl. I come downstairs. There's nobody else in the house except my wife and I. My wife's in bed. I come down and get a glass of water. Both bowls were turned upside down, and there was dog food all over the floor. So there was nobody got in the house. There was nobody here. So just stuff like that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dog will sit in my dining room and bark in one corner sometimes for no reason at all.
Yes. So it's not possible that your dog did that because I have dogs too, and I know sometimes they will do that.
My dog, you know where my dog was?
Where?
You know where my dog was? On the bed, sleeping between my wife and I. Okay. The dog comes upstairs when we go to bed. The dog follows us upstairs.
That's one of those what the hell moments.
Okay. So I just wanted to jump in and let you guys know this is the first time I'm hearing about everyone's hot water heater and everything. This is the first time I've heard about it. I had no idea. And it clicked to me all of a sudden 2 weeks ago, my grandmother had to pay to get everything, the boiler, hot water, everything needed to be replaced about 2 weeks ago in the basement where all of these things were happening.
Interesting.
Yeah, this literally happened about 2 weeks ago. And I had no idea that this had happened to anybody else. So, you know, of course I didn't mention it, but now it's kind of interesting how everything's falling into place.
It is. And the listeners could go two different ways, that it's definitely a part of this entity that's involved, or it's all coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to have to leave that to the listeners to decide.
There you go. Yep.
We can't make people believe anything. We just have to tell them exactly what your story is, and it is up to them to believe it or not to believe it.
Exactly. It's just like when watching a football game. You're watching your team. They're either going to You either believe they're going to win or you believe that they're going to lose. It's the same thing with this story. You either believe it or you don't believe it.
Exactly.
And sometimes you could not believe it and things will happen and you keep an open mind and it'll completely change your perspective. I know my grandmother, ever since everything has started happening, her perspective has changed a little bit. She's actually asked me not to talk about the book in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always said, you know, I don't believe in ghosts. There's no such thing here. You know, when we could clearly hear footsteps in our house, she says it's the wind, you know? So, but ever since I've got involved with this story, the biggest skeptic of my entire life is finally starting to show signs of a belief.
Yes. Now, Ashley, for you, what was your worst paranormal experience?
My worst paranormal experience? It's actually quite, this is going to be the third time I've ever talked about it, because there was many people involved, and it got very big very fast.
Mm-hmm.
One day, one of my friends, he said, do you guys want to go to this abandoned house in Westfield, New Jersey? And I said, no, I'm psychic, and I don't want to be bothered. And everyone else was like, well, it's not haunted, let's just go. So I went, and it's on a dead-end street, and you have to go up this really long driveway through the woods and typical scary movie type thing.
Yes.
And as we're making our way up, I see this guy. I was the only one who saw it, but I see this guy with black slicked hair, like it's slicked back, and a long trench coat just standing in the woods staring at me. And I said, I am not going in that house. I will wait right here. You guys can go without me. And naturally, my friend, she waited with me because she was my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were inside the house for about a good 10 minutes, and I saw a ghostly figure in one window, and I said, that's a woman, and her being is trapped in this house by something. And then I looked in the other one, and I said, that's a man, and he's also stuck in this house, but he has more limits. And as soon as they came out, I was okay, like, let's leave. I don't want to be here anymore. And we went to the end of the driveway, and we're all just kind of hanging out. And my friend, much like Phil's story, he was a big, muscular guy who challenged anything that he couldn't see. And he starts screaming at the house, that's all you got. There was nothing there. And we started seeing this one branch, you know, because I said the house was surrounded by woods.
Mm-hmm.
There was this one branch from this tree just swinging back and forth. And we were like, okay, well, it's the middle of the summer. There's no wind. No one else lives here. Why is it moving? And this guy goes up to it to see what's going on. And the complete, I guess it was like a diversion, because in the complete opposite direction to our left, we see this like 8-foot figure jump down from a tree and just land, and you hear like whatever was under its feet, branches, anything, all cracked. It was the scariest thing. It was funny because we all run to my friend's car, the one who challenges everything, and then he runs the complete opposite direction of his car. He didn't know where to go because we were all so scared. We finally got in the car, and I felt something like sit down next to me. The whole car shook, and I know we were all panicking, and this went on for pretty much the entire summer. Marks showing up on our bodies that we've never seen before. And my boyfriend at the time, he is the biggest, you know, I believe in God. I'm going to go to sleep with a Bible every single night.
Mm-hmm.
So he did do that. He went to sleep with a Bible next to him every single night the entire summer. And the one summer, or the one night that he didn't, he woke up and his house was on fire.
Wow.
His house was literally on fire. His mother wasn't home. I remember I was sleeping, and my grandmother wakes me up and says, Ashley, Tyshawn's here. His house is on fire.
Mm.
And then he had told me. And how this all plays out to my part is I found out that when we left that night, someone took something from that house, which was like a clay figure of like a face or something.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bunch of them in the garage, and someone took it and carried it with them. So I guess they were angry that they took it. And one night we were all hanging out, and he smashed it because he wanted to challenge evil.
Yes.
So he smashed it on the ground instead of returning it to the house. And out of nowhere, my friends noticed that I wasn't talking. I wasn't looking at anybody. I was just staring blank. And everything I'm about to tell you, I have no recollection of it. They told me this from what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
I was not speaking. I was not looking at anybody. There was a blank stare on my face. You know, they would snap their fingers in front of me. I wouldn't even flinch. And the guy who was challenging evil says, okay, you know, forget this. We're really going to get her attention. And he holds up my hand, and I was limp, dead weight. He holds up my hand, and he holds a lighter underneath my hand for about a good 30 seconds with the flame on. Absolutely nothing. My hand burned, but I didn't move. Absolutely nothing. And then out of nowhere, I snapped back into it and started asking everyone to surround me and start saying the Lord's Prayer. And everyone did that, and I was fine afterwards.
In situations like that, you definitely need to call upon the spiritual energy of the ultimate good
mm-hmm.
to protect yourself.
I was about 17. I'm 22 now, so it was a couple years ago. But I was about 17. I had no idea what my gift was. I had no idea that things could enter my body like that. I didn't
mm-hmm.
know anything about the paranormal side. I mean, I knew about it, but I didn't know how to protect myself. I didn't know anything. That was the only thing I could think of, was just to have a group of my friends around me and have everyone say the Lord's Prayer around me.
Yes.
You know, and after they were finished, I was fine. But, you know, to this day, some of my friends will still try to bring it up. I don't want to talk about it
mm-hmm.
to them, but they'll still try to bring it up and say, hey, do you remember that time where you weren't in your body? Because that's what they describe it as. I wasn't there, and I don't remember it.
I've heard the ultimate solution to protecting yourself from evil entities or any entity that wants to do you harm is to create a white light. It's like a force field to surround yourself and those you love.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how to do that?
Yeah, actually, I think when I first started on this project, I had mentioned that to both Phil and Dave about sometimes envisioning yourself being surrounded in a white light. I have mentioned that before. Somebody in my family told me that a long time ago because she works with a psychic. So she told me that, just envision yourself in a white light.
Mm-hmm. Just envision yourself. It's like a cocoon. Envision yourself in a white cocoon, and that should protect you ultimately.
Because every human being has their own white light. It's just a matter of turning it on and off.
Exactly.
It's your own protection.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing your story, Ashley.
No, thank you. I'll put Phil back on the line for you.
All right.
Okay, here you go.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Phil.
So as you can see, the team of Horsefly Productions, everybody has their own encounter. Now, these are just two people, Ashley D., the project manager. But other people, like, for example, the Ghost Rider and a whole other entourage of people that somehow are affiliated with the story have been affected.
Yes.
So the bottom line is that a poltergeist is like electricity, like lightning in the sky that you would see.
Mm-hmm.
It can go very quick from one person to the next, no matter where you live, and transform into a negative energy to affect those who are dealing with something that doesn't want to be known. In this case, this story was not supposed to be told.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information that is going to be held that when people do read it, their hair is going to stand up. And it's all true. And it's all real. And this is my life.
Hey, Bob?
Yes.
This is Dave Sutry, project manager. I just want to tell you something. There has never been a book or any story told like this before. And I'm an avid reader. I read all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
There has never, ever been a story written like this. And it's just the most exciting, unbelievable story that I have ever heard. Actually, when Phil and I met and he first started to tell me this story at breakfast, I got up from the table at a diner, and I walked away. I said, I don't want to hear any more about this. I don't want to hear another thing. And I finally went back, and I sat down again, and we talked again. But I'll tell you what, it was a really confusing, upsetting, scary day,
to say the least, for sure.
But we decided, we should do something with this. You know, we should write a book, and that's where we're at.
Yes.
And we're really excited about it.
Well, I'm actually looking forward to reading the book when it's out. When it's published, is it going to be available through, what's it going to be available through, Amazon or?
Yes. iBooks. We're going to do it on, ebooks.
Yes.
What do you call it? CDs. Audible CDs, I'm sorry. And I guess I want to let you know, it's very heavy in here. I can't describe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm losing my train of thought. Yeah, it's going to be done for Amazon. So.
I can tell. It seems like you're having breathing issues. It's almost like the atmosphere is heavy for you.
It is. It's very heavy, Bob. It's very heavy. It sounds crazy or funny or mysterious or non-believable, but I'm telling you firsthand that the only last time I felt like this, it was when I was actually playing a board, a Ouija board, because the weight in this room is unbelievable. It's like holding you down in a way, but, you know. This is why I'm going to be excited when the story comes out, because I think that people are going to start believing that be a better person. Entities are true. Demons are real. We're not alone. And we are in a three-dimensional world. And there is a universal law. And we do pay back a price.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's not in the physical world because we got away with the law, you will pay that price in the spiritual world, which far exceeds the pain and torture that we could even imagine here in physical.
Yes.
And a physical being.
Now, Phil, I looked online and I noticed that you are right now casting for a motion picture. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. We're hoping that this will get picked up to a screenplay and become a motion picture. And the reason is because, you know, you have all these hauntings out there. A Haunting in Connecticut, Amityville Horror, The Exorcist, The Conjuring. There has never been a story told, and there's one out there, I think now we're coming out, Heaven is Real, about the young boy that died.
Yes.
I have all the respect in the world for that young boy. But there has never, ever been a story told where someone has went from heaven to hell and then was born. Because it just doesn't go that way. And it keeps going on. And I'm 46 years old, and this story is still ongoing.
It, this is a a trilogy of three books.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, yeah. This will be a trilogy.
So basically, the first book is going to be from heaven up until 1999.
Mm-hmm.
The second book is going to be from 1999 to present. And the third book is going to be me explaining everything that everybody wants to know about heaven and hell.
Mm.
I mean, every single detail, which I'm keeping for the third book.
And again, the book will be available on June the 1st.
That's June correct. 1st. Yep. On Amazon.
Okay. Yep.
So, Bob, let me ask you, you know, I really appreciate first that you took us for your show, for this recording. Now, just by speaking over the last 40, 45 minutes, how do you feel about what we're telling you?
Well, from my own experiences in life, I believe it's very possible. Now, we don't know each other, obviously, but from what I've heard, it's very possible because, well, like I said, from my experiences, a lot of what you've said, talked about, are things that I myself have experienced, and only those who have experienced such things in their life can honestly say whether or not something is more likely or not. Obviously, if nobody's had these experiences, they'll be like, it's all fiction. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you've seen, we have a lot of videos that we put out there as testimonials on YouTube.
I've seen a lot of Dave Such's videos. I think he's done like three or four.
Dave has done a few. Ashley's done a video. The Ghost Rider
mm-hmm.
by the fireplace, who wants to remain anonymous, who's also an actress and a teacher. She wanted to tell her testimonial because she came into this like with blinders, not even believing that something like this would be possible. And there it is
mm-hmm.
in black and white. It's all real. And I would love to do this live show with you.
Yes.
If we have the opportunity.
Oh, we can do that next Friday night, if you like, between either 9 p.m. Central or 10 p.m. Central.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
That would be great. Next
okay.
Friday night?
Yes.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I'll make sure to let the audience know about that. Of course, they're hearing it right now.
Do you have any other questions, Bob?
Actually, let's go to you, Dave. What was your worst paranormal experience, if you have one?
You know, I'll be honest with you. The dog food thing and the dog bowl, that blew my mind. that was very disturbing.
Oh, I bet it would be, yes.
No reason for that to happen. So that was probably, that in the horse fly, when you step on a fly twice and it's still alive, and you squish your foot back and forth to make sure from side to side with all your weight,
mm-hmm.
and it's still there. That was pretty freaky.
Die, you son of a fly.
I'm telling you. So that was probably the two most, you know. My daughter, she just moved in with us the other night, and I had just fixed her closet door. Honest to God, because she had just moved in, she's like, can you fix this door? It won't stay closed. So I fixed the door. She's in bed, and she's reading her iPad. And the door slowly opens, and it stops, and then the jewelry, she has like this plastic thing that hangs over the door with little clear plastic pockets that you can put your jewelry in.
Yeah.
And it's shaking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and she like jumps up out of bed, comes in my room. She's like, what is going on? So I've been hearing about this all week.
So. Yes.
She's 19. And it just freaked her out. You know, I don't want to sleep in the room. You know, she ended up going downstairs and sleeping downstairs. So, but I had fixed the door. Like, the door was shut and latched. You had to turn the handle. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Before we end the show, Phil,
yes.
Dave, or Ashley, is there anything that you want to tell the audience?
I want to tell the audience this. This is Phil, the author. Number one, we're not alone. Number two, we go on after we cross over to the other side. Number three, you want to live life, a good life, and keep away all the negative and bad energy that you could possibly do. And number four, Bob, we've done this already. This is Replay.
Yes.
I'm going to let Dave take it over from
okay.
here.
Okay.
Buy our book.
For one thing, buy
our book, all right? And I guarantee you it will be the kind of book that anybody reads, and any of your listeners out there, this is the kind of book you're going to pick up and you're going to read it. And you're going to be like, I can't wait to get to the next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of book where, you know, if you're an avid reader, and I am, it's the kind of book you're going to stay up all night and read. You won't be able to put it down. So it's just an amazing story. It's not fiction. This is not a fiction book. This is a true life story.
Mm-hmm.
and it's fascinating. There's a lot of fun in it. You know, it's got a lot of great stuff in there. It's got a lot of great content. And the story is going to end with the book will end with a whopper ending, and you'll be on the edge of a cliff waiting for the next one to come out. So we're real excited about this. We've worked very, very hard and very diligently on this. We're very proud of what we have. And, you know, we're honestly, I feel like, you know, this is going to be on the New York Times bestseller list. And I'll be very shocked if it's not. It's just an outstanding, that's why it's called the Horsefly Chronicles, because it the way it's written is it comes out like a diary.
Yes.
It's just, you won't be able to put it down. You know, I've given it to a little bit tidbits here and there to friends, my wife, my daughter, and they're like, where's the next chapter? I want the next chapter. Where is it? Where is it? So
I felt the same way with the two chapters I've got. Like, is that it?
That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Phil, Dave, Ashley, for being on the program. Now, folks, as you've just listened to the program, as I've mentioned, it is up to you to decide what you believe and what you do not believe. Do I believe everything that is discussed on the program? The answer is absolutely not. But that isn't my job. My job here is to be a moderator, to have information brought forth to you, the audience, the listener, and for you to decide what is it that you believe. If I have on a guest who proposes that Bigfoot is actually just a 8-foot man that's got a disease that causes him to be hairy and grow big feet, hey, who is to say that that person is wrong or right? I don't know. For all we know, Bigfoot could be the president of the United States playing a joke on us. But in all seriousness, the far side is about stretching your beliefs. The far side is about breaking down the barriers, breaking down the walls of the perceived reality that people want us to confine ourselves into. The fact of the matter is, life is not all included inside of one small box. Life is not even a small box, for that matter. Life is millions of dimensional layers. And who is to say what resides in one dimensional layer, not to mention millions of dimensional layers? We know that we are in one, but what could exist other places? With that said, I want to thank you all for your continual support of The Far Side. And on Thursday, April the 17th, I will be interviewing, unless things change, unless schedules need to be changed, I will be interviewing Timothy Good. Until then, I bid you all farewell.